Track 9. Simon Thurley lives in a tower, met his wife in a palace, and his job makes dreams come true.
Imagine having £300 million a year to give away to good causes close to your heart. Historian Simon Thurley of King's Lynn leads the team which decides which heritage projects to fund with National Lottery money. Of course, it's not quite as simple as handing out cash to Britain's most deserving history and heritage projects. Applications have to be considered, priorities weighed. But still, one of the joys of the job is making dreams come true. I've just had a whole day out in Thetford Forest looking at various projects which we had funded, said Simon, who took over as chairman of the National Lottery Heritage Fund this spring. What I absolutely love about the job is that we can wave a magic wand over places, enabling them to be looked after better, be more sustainable, and be enjoyed by more people. On a smaller but significant scale, it is what Simon and his wife, fellow historian and Landmark Trust director, Anna Key, have done ever since they arrived in Lynn 15 years ago, drawn by an exceptional building. We came to King's Lynn because of the amazing heritage of the town, and in particular, the extraordinary house we were lucky enough to buy, said Simon. In the heart of the town, their home included a five-story Elizabethan tower with 73 steps up to its vantage point view across the medieval street plan of Lynn, its grand squares, the river, and on out to sea. And the tower is relatively modern, said Simon. Parts of Clifton House are 800 years old. Wine merchants lived here, and its undercroft has impressive 14th century wine cellars. Lift a trapdoor in the kitchen and see perhaps the largest expanse of glazed 13th century tiles ever found in a domestic building in this country, preserved beneath the modern flooring. The merchants who once lived here would have climbed the tower to watch for the arrival of ships laden with goods. The tower was a potent status symbol too, allowing them to literally rise above the noise and smell of the bustling Tudor town and port. Its rooms would have been richly decorated and lavishly furnished, ready to host admiring friends and business contacts. But half a century later, with England riven by war, royalists dragged cannons to the top of the tower to fire across the river at Oliver Cromwell's troops. The town MP was locked up in it and escaped down a bedsheet, said Simon. Later that century, a sweeping staircase, designed by the architect responsible for the famous custom house nearby, was added along with a magnificent doorway. Clifton House, the name is one of the newest things about it, referencing the family which owned it in the 19th century, then fell on harder times, but in 1996 was saved from dereliction by the King's Lynn Preservation Trust, and over the past 15 years, Simon and Anna have turned it back into a family home. It had no electricity, no water, no bathroom, no kitchen. Downstairs, there weren't even any floorboards, said Simon. Today, the tower is an integral part of the home. They have decorated it in Stuart style. Guests sleep in four-poster beds, although Simon and Anna don't, despite first meeting in Palace while they were both working at Hampton Court in London. We are both fascinated by the 17th century, said Simon, whose latest book, Palaces of Revolution, Life, Death and Art at the Stuart Court, is published this month. Following on from his previous book about places which shaped the Tudor world, it tells the story of the Stuarts through architecture and art, including the line of mini palaces built by James I to help him travel from London to hunt deer in Thetford Forest. James I was a great enthusiast for Norfolk and a very regular visitor, said Simon. He had these very unusual palaces built, a line of glorified townhouses in Royston, Newmarket and Thetford, and would arrive with his chaplain and his books to study and to hunt in Thetford Forest. The Thetford House King James bought and then extended into his Norfolk Palace is still known as the King's House on King Street and is home to Thetford Town Council. Simon, too, is a great enthusiast for Norfolk and its extraordinary depth of history. There is 4,000 years of man shaping the landscape, he said. Some of our ancient places still speak of Boudicca and the Iceni people. Then came the Roman roads and forts, and our medieval fields and hedgerows. People have lived here for many thousands of years, and they have all made their contributions. What's incredibly important is what our contribution is going to be. He grew up in Cambridgeshire, where his future course as a historian was set when he discovered Roman ruins in his garden. An archaeological excavation next door was turning up ancient pottery, and 10-year-old Simon was desperate to join in. His parents finally allowed him to dig in the vegetable patch, and he hit the corner of a Roman basilica, plus the remains of shops. The find was so significant that soon the whole garden was being excavated by trained archaeologists. Simon went on to complete a history degree and then a doctorate, and worked as an inspector of ancient monuments, and then a curator and surveyor for the historic royal palaces, including looking after Hampton Court and the Tower of London. He began presenting television history programmes as director of the Museum of London, including once opening the sarcophagus of a Roman woman live on TV. From 2002 to 2015, he was chief executive of English Heritage, responsible for more than 400 historic sites from Stonehenge to Hadrian's Wall, and site of the Battle of Hastings in Kent, to Norfolk gems including Birr Castle, Cow Tower, and Castleacre Castle, Priory and Baileygate. Simon's absolute favourite place in the county, other than King's Lynn, extremely beautiful with more listed buildings than almost any other town I can think of, is Castleacre, a walled village with a castle, priory and church in the most beautiful setting, he says. Simon and Anna have 13-year-old twins, Arthur and Maud. They've been brought up being taken to history places, cathedrals, churches, castles, galleries, said Simon. Even their home has a museum. Exhibits include some of the Roman pottery Simon found as a child, alongside artifacts discovered in Clifton House itself. A Victorian stuffed bear bought in an antique shop is also part of the family. I felt he was a lovely thing that needed a good home, said Simon. So why does history matter? And what should Norfolk children learn about the past? Our past informs and shapes our future. And to make a great future for everyone, we need to understand and care for our past, said Simon. History is important because it is a sense of identity, a sense of place. It's a part of the human condition to want to be connected to the past. Even people who would not buy my new book, I can't imagine why they wouldn't, even people who wouldn't buy a history book are really, really interested in where they have come from and what's happened there. He loves being part of a process which can help people across the county preserve some of the most significant parts of their story. It's amazing the way we can make people's dreams come true, as well as funding big and complicated things. We fund small things too. We can identify places that are really, really important and find ways of making sure that they are still there for future generations. The responsibility that we have to make sure that our children and grandchildren can enjoy them too. It's not just about buildings. Our area of interest is national heritage, which can be buildings, museums, and natural landscapes, said Simon. The Thetford Forest Initiative he was looking at, Back from the Brink, led by Natural England, was awarded £4.9 million towards an £8 million project. It is turning the tide for some of our most threatened species and inspiring the next generation to care for England's most vulnerable wildlife, said Simon. 20 species will be saved from extinction. 120 species will have their conservation status improved. Grants might be several million pounds, or a few thousand. But Simon cautioned, we have to make very difficult decisions about which things we're able to fund. We have big resources. We also have very big demands. Two Norfolk buildings have particularly worried him for many years. Fakenham Gasworks and the Winter Gardens in Great Yarmouth, which have just been awarded almost £10 million of National Lottery money. Simon is also involved in planning the restoration of the Palace of Westminster. In terms of protecting our heritage, he said, we have to move with the times. We have to carefully balance the best things from the past with the new things we add. As an example, he returns home. King's Lynn has enjoyed a big renaissance in the last 4 or 5 years, he said. I'm impressed with how the borough council in the centre of the town has been very careful with new housing and new shops, built in local brick, flint and cast stone. It's a really big improvement on the really horrible buildings that we built in the 1970s and 1980s. The sooner the Vancouver Quarter is demolished, the better. But despite the magnificent history of his tower house, he is not living in the past. Indeed, he is not at all sure he would like his beloved 17th century. It depends on who we would be, a downtrodden peasant or fabulously wealthy, he said.
Simon and Anna opened Clifton House to the public for Heritage Open Days and as part of the Invitation to View scheme. Palaces of Revolution, Life, Death and Art at the Stuart Court by Simon Thurley is published by William Collins in hardback for £25.